2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and I might as well start with the first verse. If you're from the mountains and you're real old, that is what we call two-eyed kings. Old-timers didn't know anything about Roman numerals, so they just said two-eyed kings. That wasn't bad, but when that guy was preaching at a one-eyed king, Vernon, I could picture that, you know. Guy had the patch over his eye, but that's what the old-timers would say. Now, there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets that cried unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband's dead." And you know that my, this is Wooten translation, so if it's not in your Bible, don't worry about it. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditors are come, and they're going to take my two boys to be bondsmen. Elisha said, "And what can I do for you?" And he got to thinking, he said, "Now what do you got in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid don't have anything except a pot of oil." Then she said, "Go borrow," he told her, said, "Go borrow some vessels abroad of all your neighbors, and empty vessels, not a few, borrow a bunch of them. And when you come in, shut the door behind you and the boys and close yourself in and pour out into all these vessels and set aside that's full." And so she went from him, shut the door upon her and her sons, began to pour into these vessels, and she poured it all out. Came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, said, "Bring me another one of them vessels." And he said, "Mama, there's not another vessel left." And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God what had happened. And he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and live you and them boys off of the rest of it for the rest of your life." Now, the little thought I had tonight, I could put it in one terminology to find out whether you're a hippie or a country person. I started to call it just a little pot. You hippies think it was something you'd smoked. But you country people know what I'm talking about. You city slickers, forget it. We don't have time to explain that to you. That's an education within itself. But just a thought tonight, just a pot of oil. Just a pot of oil. This passage of Scripture we just read to you is an object lesson of the Holy Spirit and is all sufficiency to meet every need in your entire life. This woman had a need. Her situation was one of debt and distress and complete helplessness. She had no one to go to except God, and if He didn't help her, her situation was desperate. You ever been there? You ever been to where you had nowhere else to go but God? I had nowhere else to go but Maxie, but it looked like I need God. Don't tell him I said that. No, then what he'll give me next time I go. But such a situation oftentimes happens in our life, and they are a greater blessing than we can count on, because it throws us upon God and compels us to trust in His all sufficiency of His grace. It puts us in a better position to reach the throne room of God, not only for our life and our need, but for others' need. Nearly all of the great examples of faith and victorious grace in the Scriptures came out of situations of extremity and distress. Could I tell you, God loves hard places. The places you think are impossible, He's there right on the spot. He'll never leave you and never forsake you in the middle of your dilemma, but He'll go all the way through. Jacob was transformed from Jacob to Israel in a conflict at Peniel. Israel was awakened to claim her redemptive rights because of the doubling of the tally of bricks that was sent to them. David learned to know his God when he said, "Thou hast known my soul in adversity." Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Don't be discouraged and by the difficulties, nor regard them as misfortunes, but receive them as challenges of our faith, for an opportunity is given to us to show that God can do all things. Nothing is too hard for Him to do. It just puts us in a position to prove and test a loving God that we have. Her resources, you say, well, was there anything she could do? What in the world could she do? She had nothing left. They were coming to take her sons. What was her resources? Elisha said, "What do you got in the house?" She said, "Just a pot of oil." To her, it seemed nothing. Yet it contained the supply of all of her need. To her, a little pot of oil seemed as nothing. But in that pot of oil, it contained the answer to every problem that she had. You're not getting this too closely tonight. Let me put it this way. In the Holy Spirit that lives inside of our heart, we may think He's not all that important. We may relegate Him to a prayer room in the basement. We may make Him be second fiddle behind our talent and our ability. When the fact is, folks, when you underestimate Him, He is more than able to meet every need of our life. It's not just a pot of Holy Spirit. It's not just a pot of oil. It is the resources that meets every need of our life. The Holy Spirit is the executor officer of the will of God on this earth. Everything we get from God must come through the implementation of the Holy Spirit. Without Him working, we are helplessly lost. You couldn't even be saved without the Holy Spirit dealing with your life and drawing you. He implements and enforces the healing and deliverance that can only come through Him. So it is important that we realize the greatest thing in this world is having the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. Don't take that lightly. But I'm telling you, we go in Pentecostal churches. And there is a huge majority of people in Pentecostal churches do not have the baptism, and neither do they seek for it. One of the greatest gifts and greatest empowerment in your life, but yet we'll settle for a little touch every now and then and sit on a pew. I'm not interested, folks, in ritual. I'm interested in feeling a relationship with Him to know something is stirring on the inside of my life. He came on the day of Pentecost to make Christ real in our lives. Paul said, then it's no longer Christ that lives. It is me, Christ that lives on the inside of me. I'm not the one anymore. It is Him living His life out through me. It may look like just a pot of oil, but yet it contained the supply of all of her need. God loves to utilize all the resources which He's already given to us. Moses had a rod. God used it to break the power of Pharaoh and divide a Red Sea. A little lad on a Galilean shore had very little that day, but Christ took what He had and with 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed 5,000 people. Our least is enough for God if we'll allow Him complete control. I don't have much to offer the Lord. All He wants is what you got. Start where you're at. Start where you're at and He'll multiply that. He'll take our, that's all He wants. Our least is enough if God has complete control over what we've got. I thought that was worth mentioning. But the little pot of oil was not just a little thing. It represented the power of the Holy Spirit and His ability to meet every need. But many times, folks, He is unemployed. And it's an unrealized power and source that lives on the inside of our life. Let me throw this in. This ain't in my notes. But when our mama she was paralyzed from her neck down. And they put her in Williamson, West Virginia Hospital, and in an iron lung. Now they got the breathing machines. And iron lung looked like 2 55-gallon barrels welded together and your head stuck out here. And the big old bellas, you ever heard one of them, you never forget it. But them old bellas was moving under there and it kept her alive. And the doctor come, he's a foreign doctor, he come and told my dad, said, Mr. Wooten, your wife's going fast. Dad said, I know that. So he come and got me by the hand. And he said, I'm talking about the importance, folks, of just a little pot of oil. Just a little pot of oil. And he come got me by the hand and said, let's go. And we walked across that parking lot on the other side of the parking lot up on this hill. He didn't know what was there, but there was a little cemetery there. We was up there 3 or 4 years ago, still there. And I watched that old coal miner brush the dust off and laid his arm. He's a man of very short prayer, short word, but a lot of faith. And he knelt there and he laid that arm up there, tears streamed down his face. And he said, God, got to heal my wife. She got to finish raising these kids. You got to do it. And all of a sudden, he jumped up and said, let's go. I said, all right. We walked across that parking lot, hit that button, went to the third floor. He went in and bent down and whispered to her. And he said, Mary, the Lord told me to tell you to stir up the gift of God that is within you. Stir up that little pot. That's all your resources you need. It's not in this foreign doctor. He didn't know what to do with her. It was not in him. They finally brought Mama home. I'll make a long story longer. They brought her home. And one night while she was laying up in that coal mining camp in the house, One night she said she saw just a hand and one of them little pump oil cans like the ladies use their sewing machine, you know, oil it up. She said, I saw nothing but a hand and a little pump can, and it began to hit every joint in her body. But warm sensation come over that. You're not getting this. I'm simply telling you, it's not just a pot of oil. This Holy Spirit is real. It is a connection to the throne of God. It is connection to healing. It is connection to victory. It's a determination whether we live or whether we die. It's a difference between total victory or total defeat. It's what's in that little pot. It's an oil. God, help us. Help us to realize the importance of it. My, my, my. You see, so many times, this ain't my notes either. But you know, there was five of them wise and five of them foolish. Those virgins, you know, there. And there's only some of them had a little oil in that vessel that kept it in there. You know, when a lamp is burning, you don't see the lamp. You only see the light. I hope ain't no coon hunters in here. But if you see a coon hunter in the woods, you don't know who he is, how tall he is, how short he is. All you see is that light shining. That's all you see. But you see, when that you're not having the light on, the only light is reflected off of the lantern, yours. Then it's all about you. Then all the world sees is how nice your lantern is. They see your reflection in that lantern. But if you can put a little oil in that pot, hallelujah, you can get a little oil in that vessel and start burning that off of the Holy Spirit and letting Him live His life through your life. It's no longer I that live. The people are not seeing me, they're seeing that light. I'm going to tell you, Christ needs to be seen in 2015. That ought to be our motto this year. We must be seen if the world is going to change. We are the only light they're ever going to see, and we cannot produce it unless we're burning off of that oil in that pot. There is no life in me. There is no joy in me. There is nothing in me to attract anybody to God. But when He lives His life through us, they see Him and not us and be attracted to it. They'll say, I want what they got. I want what they got. I don't care if you like me or not, folks. Jesus Christ is the only hope of this world. It is the only thing that can turn lives around. And the Holy Spirit living His life freely through you is the only thing that'll make a difference. The only thing that'll make a difference. But we realize sometimes it's an unrealized source. There was a woman in Scotland many years ago, back during that first, old timers used to say War One, but back during that World War I, there was a woman in Scotland, and she went to her pastor, and she said she was very desperate. She was about starvation. He said, I'll come by and see you. So he went by, and he said, ma'am, said, don't you have anybody in your family? She said, yeah, I've got a son. Nobody at all said, I got a son, and he's been in that army for 2 years out there fighting. And she said, I won't tell him what kind of shape I'm in. I don't want to bother him. He said, do you ever hear from him? She said, yeah. Said, every month he sends me a letter and pictures of places. The pastor said, you mind if I see these pictures? She said, no. So she went and got her Bible, and she dug the pictures out of that Bible that her son had sent her every month. And soon as the pastor looked at it, he said, ma'am, these are not just pictures. They are banknotes on the Bank of England. Your son has been sending you every month to take care of you. Now, I'm saying locked up in your Bible, unbeknownst to you, and sometimes it is, there is a wealth. There is pictures of divine healing. There is pictures of glory. There is pictures that'll carry you through life. There is pictures of a God that'll never leave you nor forsake you. There is a treasure in your Bible if we'll only reach in there and pull it out. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm not operating on my word tonight. I'm operating on His. I can't tell you can make it. He said you can make it. I can't tell you that I can be healed. He said I can be healed. I can't tell you kids are going to be saved. He said they were going to be saved. I'm going to believe what thus saith the word of God, and believe that little oil in that pot is sufficient to meet every need in our lives. We are the temple of that Holy Spirit. You see, the problem with Hagar and her bitter spirit that she had was nothing but this. She couldn't see the fountain that was right there. And her son, this baby, this young infant, was thirsting and dying. The angel come along. He did not dig a well. Neither did he create a well. He only opened her eyes to let her see the well was already there. When the children of Israel reached the waters of Moriah, they were bitter and they were poisonous. All was needed. All was needed was to show Moses where the branch of healing was that was already there. Trying to help you folks. It was already there. There wasn't any need for the Lord to send a band of angels and an army of angels on that hillside during Elisha's day. No need for him to send them there. All he needed to do was open that servant's eyes because they were already there. They encamped around about them that love and fear the Lord. In your darkest night of sickness, in your darkest hour, you're laying there at night all by yourself, don't know whether you're going to live or die. I'm going to tell you there's somebody in that room. There's somebody and a presence that is there. It may look like just a pot of oil in here, but it summons us. The throne room of heaven. There is a connection to that throne. There is a connection to those promises. There is a connection simply because of that pot of oil that's in our lives. Hallelujah. Didn't have to do it all. It was already there. God seems like He's telling us we ought to rise and shine, for our light has come. There was conditions of receiving this divine help this lady needed. There was some conditions to that. First of all, she was told to make room. She had to go get empty vessels. The greatest need of the church and our lives is to make room for God. I watched it. People have go to church, serve the Lord. All of a sudden, they have kids. Junior's in T-League. Can't miss that game on Wednesday night. No, got to be there. I got to promote him in T-League more than teaching him about the house of God. I got to influence him in that sports because he might get a scholarship and he might keep the old man up later on. You know what I mean? That's the mentality people think. And then later on, he gets into Little League, and all of a sudden, they need a coach. So Dad volunteers to help coach this Little League. When they have a revival, and the Holy Spirit is trying to move and do something in the church, Dad can't be there because he's out there coaching that Little League. He is teaching that boy that Little League is more important than a revival or the house of God. Anytime you stay home on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night, when you ought to be at church, you're telling your family and your next door neighbor, they ain't too much to that church. I can miss it whenever I want to. But when you get out and go in the rain and sleet and the snow and get out and you go when you don't even feel like it, I'm telling you, I told the girls on the way over here, I said, you know, years ago when we were sick, that's the first place you want to go, take me to church. Couldn't afford doctors. No, I couldn't afford them. If God didn't heal you, you're going to die. So take me to church. And we got there, and people prayed, and people, men and girls remember this many times. Somebody missed our church on Sunday morning. You better not be at the golf course or fishing, because they're going to be about five families show up at your door on Sunday afternoon, and they didn't come to eat with you. They come to stay there until you got up. Now, me and the girls would sit in that old Ford, dead drove Fords. I don't know how we ever got around. But that's the reason they put them hooks on the front of them Chevrolet Silverados, pull them Fords out of the ditch. You know what? But I hope none of y'all Ford drivers. But if you are, we'll wait on you to get home tonight and make sure you get there. But you always did have that old Ford. And me and the girl said, it'd be hot summertime. We'd be in that car, you know, poking each other, fighting at each other like normal Christian kids do. Soon as Dad get there, Dad, them girls hit me. never worked. But anyway, we'd be sitting in that hot car for sometimes 2 hours, and you'd hear him in there praying, you'd hear him in there pleading the blood of Jesus, and then all of a sudden, you'd hear a shout and seem like the room begin to vibrate. After a while, here come mom and dad out. That person, whoever they prayed for, would be at church that night giving a testimony to the healing power of God. Many times revival would break out because them people believed that that little pot of oil, in that there was healing and deliverance. Mama believed that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. You can't do that on your own. It must be done through the confidence of that little oil that's in that pot. Had to make room. Sometimes we got to make room. We got to empty ourselves out before God can do anything for us. We got to the point where we know how to have church. We know how to go through the routine. We know how to do the choir number. We know how to do the special singing. We know how to do, you know, all the offering. We know how to do the prayer. We know how to lift the altar. We know how to do it all. But I pray that this year the Holy Ghost would interrupt our program and insert His presence in there. And some Wednesday night, you just come in here thinking it's just another Wednesday night, and the Holy Ghost interrupt what you got going on, and a revival break out like it did over there on Manchester Street. I think that's the name of that street, down behind the, across from the old courthouse, that lasted for weeks and hundreds of people were saved. God granted again. Laurel County needs it. You and I need it. Our kids need it. It may look like we've got just a little pot of oil, but we contain the resource to save Laurel County. In that pot of oil is the resources to convict the drug addict and the dope pusher in this county. In that pot of oil, there is something there, folks, that will turn lives around. You let somebody walk in here blind and leave seeing, you couldn't put another chair to get them in. God help us to rely on the resources of that cup and that oil that flowing from God. It's still real. It's still available. What looks like just a little pot of oil is the essence of all the resources that we'll ever need for what we need in this life. After she, another page, I forget it. After she got to that point, you had to make room for God. Got to get self out of the way. What was the old mystic said? Until we're emptied of self, God cannot fill us. Emptied of ambition. Because the problem of it is we tell people to come to the altar, repeat these words after me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sins. And we say, you're saved. We pat them on the back. We set them on a seat. Next Sunday, we baptize them. And they sit on that seat as B.H. Clendenin said, and they think religion alone is going to save them. Because the whole purpose of that altar was a place where you died. Your ambitions died. Your dreams died. Everything about you died. And when you got up, it was no longer you that lived. Christ is on the inside. Gotta tell you something. God don't have a halfway house. It's a one-step program with God. You go to the bookstore. They don't have bookstores anymore. You got to go to Amazon. Get them downloaded on your Kindle. You smart people can read in the dark. Rest of us has got to buy books when we can find them, because we're not high-tech. We're just rednecks. You go to them, when you can find a bookstore, you go in there and they'll say, 7 steps to a better you. Oh, my Lord, I'd like to cut, you know, that's too much. I ain't got time to wait on 7 steps. I need something now. You go in there, 5 steps to prosperity. I heard a preacher up north, I better not call his name because every one of you in here know him. I heard a preacher up north preaching the other day and never thought I'd ever hear it, but he was preaching on the prosperity program. The more you sow seed, the more you give, the more you get. And I thought about that for a while, and it's about like Reverend Ike Vernon, Reverend Ike, when my dad was still alive, he had that, remember him on that program, "You can't lose with the stuff I use. You send me $20 and I'll send you a miracle billfold." Dad was almost ready to do that, and Mama told him, said, "Don't you think if that was a miracle billfold, he'd keep it himself?" Don't you think, he said, "Oh, you get this, you'll never be broke." Mama said, "Don't you think if he's never, he'd keep that bill for himself?" Well, talk pop out of it. It's a wonder if he didn't go ahead and do it anyway. He bought on any of that stuff, you know. But what I'm saying is this. I said, well, it's the three-step program. It's all about prosperity. And that prosperity is getting you prepared to live in a better house and a bigger car on this earth. It is not my job to get you in the bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger salary. It's my job and that preacher's job right there on the front seat to get your lamps trimmed and burning and get you ready to get out of here, because this world is not our home. We're only passing through. You could be the most comfortable in this world with a new Cadillac and a new house on the prosperity program and die and leave every bit of it behind. But what we get when we come to God, we have a insurance beyond the grave. It's a benefit that pays us. If your heart is not right with God, folks, you could live in this world in luxury and die and go to hell. But if you could live in a shack up in the hills or some holler and you know Him, glory to God. That's the reason they wrote that song. That preacher went in down in Winfield, Tennessee, went in to visit the lady, and she was dying, and she had a dirt floor. Didn't even have any concrete or wood. It was a dirt floor. He went in to visit her, and she was dying, and she looked around at the kids and looked at the pastor, and she said, "Oh, kids, could you look what I'm trading for a mansion? I'm trading a dirt floor. I'm trading a shack. I'm trading a life riddled by sickness and poverty for a mansion on the hillsides of glory. It may look like just a little pot, but it's sufficient for every need that we have in our lives." She had to start pouring out by faith. Could I tell you something? If she hadn't run out of pots, she could have still been pouring tonight from that multiplying source that kept right on flowing. But did you also know that that oil didn't quit flowing until she quit? She ran out of room. I'm here to tell you, your faith will quit a long time before the willingness and the resources of God will quit to meet your need. Your faith will quit a long time before the willingness of God and the resources of heaven are exhausted to meet your need. I'm going to bank on that tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life. Sometimes we look at a congregation and think everybody's saved, they're going to heaven, it's wonderful. But yet we realize that there is people dealing with things in their life that if they don't turn them over to God, it'll destroy them. We do realize that there is people that's tried to fix something on their own. I'm telling you, God don't need a five-step program. He's only got one, and that's Jesus Christ. You want to get a dope addict out of dope? Make him come sincere to that altar with tears. He'll die, and he'll get up a new creation in Christ Jesus. The cravings and the desires of who he used to be. Somebody was talking about the other day about somebody they knew was a homosexual. And they said, "Well, they don't hope for him." I said, "Yeah, they are. If you bring that problem you got sincerely to this altar, and you're sincere about your lifestyle and you want to change it, I promise you one thing. If you haven't crossed that line of no return and you're sincere, you can kneel here, a gay person, and you can get up a child of the King, and no more desires in your life to go that direction." We don't want to talk about that because we want to exclude them. We want to leave that prodigal son in that pig pen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God wants them out of it. And he's the only answer for deliverance. More and more of our people and more church people and church kids are getting involved in that lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It is a perversion from Antichrist that is destroying the lives and the minds of our kids in our schools and in the community to think this is okay. It's abomination in the sight of God if my kid does it or yours, either one. But there is a answer, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ. When you die, you get up a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. That whole life, child, is changed forevermore. So they may be dealing with things in your life that if you don't give them to God, they'll destroy you. Tried to fix it yourself. You tried to depend on others and didn't have any help. I'm here to you tonight to tell you that a little bit of oil can meet every need in your life. And as I stand here in need of that, I am counting on that oil to start flowing. It's convertible, folks. This oil is convertible. She went to the master and she said, what do I do with this oil? He said, sell what you got. Pay your debt. Live off the rest. It's convertible to every need of your life. You know, it's not just pay your debt, but you got something to live off of from now on. It's convertible. Let a little bit of oil pour over that sickness you got. Let a little bit of that oil, like Mama, Dad told Mama, stir up that gift of God. Let a bit of it pour over your finances. Let a little bit of oil in there pour over your youngins and your kids. Let a little bit of that oil begin to deal with their lives. It may seem like a little pot, but I'm telling you, in it is the resources for everything we'll ever need. For this coming year, the greatest thing this church or any other church could ever get is to allow the Holy Spirit more control over our hearts, our lives, and our minds. To every time we gather, come Holy Spirit. You know, you don't have to invite Him in here. He's already here. He's waiting on you. Somebody said, I'm just waiting on God to tell me something. No, He's waiting on you. Dealing with God is like dealing with a checker game. In a checker game, when the first player makes a move, he can't do anything else until the second player makes a move. I'm going to tell you, God's already made His move. He's waiting on you to make your move. He has already made, and He cannot make another move until you make your move. And when you move, He moves. It may look like just a little pot of oil, but in it is the resources for everything you need in your life. Would you stand? Whatever you need tonight, working under a little handicap here physically, and I apologize for that. But I don't apologize for the word to tell you that it may look like just a little pot of oil. Holy Spirit may not look like it's all that important to our talent and our ability and all the machinery that we have today. But no amount of machinery and talent can take the place of the wooing and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing we could ever do or say could ever take the place of one touch of the Master's hand. I'm to the age that I don't need the pat on the back of the world. I don't need the acceptance of a crowd. I just want to be touched afresh by the Master's hand. I lay down at night. I may not have pleased you, but I want to see Him smile and say, boy, you did okay. For most of my life, what seemed like a little pot of oil, that's what I considered it. But the older I get and the more struggles we go through, I'm finding the value of just a little pot of oil. Finding the value of the indwelling Spirit, a God that lives on the inside of me. There have been some nights in the last few weeks. I had to draw from that little pot of oil. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Wooten, I told you, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. And it seems like there's somebody else in that room. And it seems like that darkness is dispelled by some kind of a light. And there's a warm feeling coming over your body as He whispers, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll never take a step that I won't take one with you. You go through the fire, I'll get in there with you. If you're celebrating Pentecostal victory, I'll shout with you. But I'll never leave you. I basically preached to myself tonight. But if you have a need from God, you're dealing with something only God can help you with, this altar's open. Find you a place to pray and rely upon that little pot of oil. Let the Holy Spirit minister through your life. He already lives on the inside of you, folks. Let Him pour His Spirit on the problem that you're dealing with.